welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome to Education Currents. I thought today would be a great idea to talk about Common Core standards. And I thought I'd have my husband, who really, it would be like the typical parent that has no idea really what their child's being subjected to.
Which I don't understand what she's talking about.
To have him join me. So let's start with what are Common Core standards.
Okay, what are Common Core standards? Enlighten me, please.
Well, for the longest time, the states were allowed to develop their own accountability testing or achievement tests. And each state had their set of standards. So when you would go to look for example, when I was at the Review and Herald, we were building the standards for the curriculum for the early childhood program. So we went and looked at every state's set of standards, and we had reams and reams of standards from each state.
Doesn't that make it quite confusing to know where your child should be then, if each state has their own set of standards?
Well, that's what the U.S. Department of Education has decided, that there should be some national norms. And on first appearance, this does seem like a good idea, because when we go to, maybe we move from one state to the next, everybody's on the same page. We're all going after the same thing, and we have the same academic standards. But I just thought maybe here in the introduction I'd talk about California. This is pretty hot off the press. California is proposing to suspend their own accountability testing for 1 year, and the U.S. Department of Education is quite upset. In fact, they're saying, no, we want you to do this testing based on our Common Core standards. In fact, if you don't do this testing, and California is saying, but wait, we have our own standardized tests that we've paid a lot of money to develop. The materials are in place. Our teachers know how to do them. Now to switch and do your testing will take a lot of time and effort and money. The U.S. Department is saying, too bad. We can't approve of this in good conscience. If you don't proceed with the plan, we will be forced to take action, which could include withholding funds from your state. This is from Arnie Duncan, our Secretary of Education. Now, he was he applauded California for implementing the Common Core state standards. But see, that's the Common Core state standards and not the Common Core national standards.
Could you tell us a little bit about what what the different standards are? Like, what's the first standard that we have to be concerned with?
Well, currently, the standards are based on what children should know at any given age about any given subject. You know, do they know how to do multiplication table? Do they know their multiplication tables well by the third grade? Do they know, say in history, do they know all their states and the capitals of the states? Can they do critical thinking? And these standards actually cover volumes of pages, because when you think about the mind, the vastness of the mind, and then you break it down at each level what standard they should be at, it takes a lot of words to express it all. It's pretty phenomenal.
Does each age have its own set of tests, or is there one test they give to everybody and they just see how far you can get into it? How many tests are we talking here too as well?
Well, basic achievement tests and cognitive ability tests start by grade. So each grade has their own level. Now, in our particular school system, we don't test until the third grade. But you can get them for kindergarten. You can get them even at our early childhood age bracket. We are assessing them. Of course, they can't write, but we can assess, you know, how they're getting along with each other. Can they tie their shoes? Do they understand patterns? Are they able to verbally express themselves and that kind of thing? So we're all looking at some kind of standard and some kind or benchmark. That's often an interchangeable word, benchmark or standard. And we want our children to do well. That being said, what about Common Core standards? Common Core national standard. What should, you know, it, what are the pitfalls? And I think we're going to discuss that right now. Number one, and you can be kind of the foil for this because you're the parent. You're representing the parent today that doesn't realize all this is happening to their child.
I'll be the hard to get along with parent. How's that?
That's perfect. The parents are the number one advocates for their children, and they need to know.
You better believe it. You ain't going to mess with my child.
That's right. So we're talking about the things that are the pitfalls. Number one, I don't think standards should necessarily be set to a school subject, but should be set to what that school has been able to do as far as open that mind to love learning. So these different subjects that we teach, like arithmetic and history, social studies, science, all of those things should be used to help that child discover their world and love learning.
But my child has to learn the multiplication tables, you know, has to learn to add and subtract and do that. Because if you don't have math, you don't have a good understanding of in the business.
Right. And do you think that having national standards based on that helps learning occur? Does it make that child learn more?
Probably not so much that, but that would, it only gives you a mark of what they can regurgitate. You know, it doesn't really tell how they learned it. Did they memorize it? Did they actually understand it? Are they just repeating what you're... Okay,
right.
I can see what you're saying in that respect.
And that's what many teachers are saying. It, when you have a specific national standard that everybody has to get all of their students to that point at a certain time every year, it becomes very test-driven. The curriculum then is all about practicing for the test. So that's a pitfall.
I have heard that before. They say they teach to the test, and that's the test they're referring to.
Yeah, that's what they're referring to because compensation for teachers begin to become tied to how well their students do on these tests. Now, the other pitfall, number two, the world changes. We don't know what the future holds, and clinging to a very static, by static we mean this is the mark, and clinging to that in a dynamic world, it might be a comfortable thing to do, it actually is fraught with potential danger because that child might need to know something else. It might be more important that they know something else than that specific thing that's going to be tested that we're all focusing on. And I even ran into that in the middle school because there it was very test-driven. The curriculum was very test-driven. Everybody in the county was all on the same page. And so the children that didn't get it by a certain time, we found ways to put them in a different bracket or put them in a different class so that their scores wouldn't bring down the other students' scores. And I felt that really was cheating some children that might learn a little bit slower than others, but still had the ability to learn it.
I was just sitting here and thinking about that. How does that work with different learning abilities and how fast a child learns or how they learn? Because I know there's several different ways that a child can learn. Does this help the core standards or does it hinder the core standards? I mean,
well, we'd like to say that differentiated instruction helps all the different learning styles come to the same conclusion. But unless we can figure out a way of doing differentiated assessment to go along with the differentiated instruction, we kind of defeat the problem of differentiated instruction.
Yes,
and
I can see that.
You're exactly right. Another number three is that the Common Core standards assume that what kids need to know is covered by one or another of the traditional core subjects. So now the curriculum becomes very narrow. We aren't going to take the time to actually go out and collect the butterfly, the caterpillars to make the chrysalises to watch the butterflies emerge, because we don't have time. They need to just learn the facts. And so that really narrows learning down. So number four, we recognize that there is a relationship between the socioeconomic development of the child and their academic levels. Simply said, poor children tend to do poor on performance. You know, they tend to perform poor on standardized tests, and better or wealthier children tend to score higher on standardized tests. So that then creates even a huge, it makes the line between the poor and the rich become huge.
That almost sounds like you're profiling me. I'm a poor student, poor financially, so I'm going to be a poor student. Or my folks are rich, so I'm going to be top of my class. Yes. Sounds almost like you're profiling somebody.
Well, it does, and I think that is one of the pitfalls. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the Pygmalion effect of what you're talking about. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Why did God make Earth if He had other planets to love and care for?
Some time ago, there was trouble in my family. There were financial worries, marriages under stress, and even some serious spiritual doubts to be overcome. In the middle of all this mess, I asked my mom and dad a pointed question. "Don't you wish you hadn't had us kids?" I queried. Their response was immediate. "You children have brought us so much joy and happiness through the years, we couldn't think of a world without you in it." Even though God had an entire universe of beautiful beings willing to worship Him, something was missing. We were missing. His love was so great, He not only brought us into existence, He allowed His only Son to suffer and die a terrible death to keep us free from Satan's snare. My parents repeatedly demonstrate to us children the verse found in Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." NIV. So, why did God make Earth?
I know, because He couldn't think of a universe without us in it.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Hi, I'm Joy Michaels, and welcome to Heartbeat. In the movie The Soloist, Robert Downey Jr. portrays a journalist who reaches out to a homeless man who used to study cello at the Juilliard School of Music. The homeless man struggles with bouts of schizophrenia, but when he sits down to play the cello, his ability is beyond even the principal cellist of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. Though inconvenient and often uncomfortable, the veil of prejudice falls from the eyes of Robert Downey's character, and he is able to see and learn in new ways. Is there someone today through whom you could learn the true meaning of having a relationship? Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
So welcome back to Education Currents. We're talking about...
Well, wait a minute. You said something a while ago. I just got to ask. What is Pygmalion? Is that what you called it?
Yeah, the Pygmalion effect. You know, it was a study done quite a few years ago now, but the term has become very famous in educational circles. And so what these researchers did is they told a group of teachers, you have very high IQ children. And then they took another group of teachers and they said, these children have a low IQ, but, you know, do the best you can with them. And indeed, it was just totally the opposite. And so the children who didn't have a very high IQ, their IQ actually went up.
Because they were told they had a high IQ.
Yes, because the teachers thought they had a high IQ, and they taught them as if they were very intelligent students. And the teachers that thought they were working with low IQ students, it came true. The students didn't score as high on the tests. They didn't achieve as much. And so it became known as the Pygmalion effect. So as we're talking about the socioeconomic implications, you know, research shows that children who come from wealthier families do indeed score higher than children who come from poor families. Well, what happens with that, the Pygmalion effect does hit in, and pretty soon we have literally caused a class setting in the United States. You know, this United States where we want everyone to have equal opportunity, we're creating based on this poverty, this culture of poverty where the poor remain poor. They aren't given as many opportunities. Their education isn't as well. They don't score as well on these tests. Even in well-to-do schools, they become a class of their own. They're kind of shuttled aside. And that we're working against. But that is what we fear that the Common Core standards will actually make more apparent, because these children that are coming from a more poverty-stricken home don't have the opportunities. Another thing I just have to put in here is when I taught in California, my school was actually used to norm these tests. I was paid for my school to be a norming center. And it was interesting because every single one of my students came from a very professional family. I had psychologists, I had attorneys, I had doctors. I didn't have one single family that would be what you would consider a middle-class normal family. And yet, this was what they used to norm these tests. And that in itself, I don't think teachers realize that, you know, we're really trying to pull up these kids by their bootstraps by saying, you know, reach this level of test, reach these standards.
Well, if what you explained about the Pygmalion effect was the case, these kids started out with a higher IQ because they were told they were, you know, were better. So if this is your norm, now you've just raised the norm way above what normal should be.
Yes, and I think the belief is that, you know, maybe then everyone will, you know, come up to that standard. If we set the standard high enough, then everyone will come up to that standard.
But wait a minute, the course doesn't sound like it teaches to increase their ability. It just wants to just find out what their ability is.
Yeah,
now, did I misunderstand that?
Well, what happens with standards, you know, Common Core standards, is the hope and the belief that if we set the standard here, then everyone will teach to that standard, and that will bring up the achievement of the whole nation. Right now, we're pretty, if you compare us to all of the civilized world, we're pretty low. We are not as high. And we used to be the highest, but now we're no longer. The United States no longer is. I don't think that's necessarily such a bad thing, because we are a melting pot for many nations, and we're bringing in people who can't even speak English.
But if all of our jobs are going to these other countries that's got quote-unquote higher IQ people working on it, it's taking a lot of work from us. So aren't we defeating what we're trying to do by making a stable environment for our kids here?
Yeah, the Common Core standards, while they are done from a, you know, a good motive, there's just some things we need to watch for. Okay, number four, So much attention is being showered on these Common Core standards that the main reason for poor student performance is being ignored. And the main reason is that childhood poverty that I talked about before. And that, you know, until we look at the economy in the United States, we're all suffering from economy. I don't know anybody that isn't suffering from the economy as it is. So we could come right back from what's wrong with the Common Core and say, you know, it's ignoring what really is the underlying problem. Now, we have like three more reasons. The sixth reason is that Common Core standards are set up for national standardized tests. And these tests don't encourage complex thought. They don't avoid cultural bias. They can't measure nonverbal learning. And they can't predict anything of consequence. So it's just, it is a huge waste of money, in essence. And number seven, standards, the word standards might get an approving nod from the layperson. I mean, don't you think, Michael, that the word standard sounds pretty good?
It sounds like the normal, what you should be, just, you know, normal people.
Right. The problem is that when you standardize something, you lose its creativity. And part of what we want is we want whole-brained thinking. We want our children not to be mere reflectors of other men's thoughts. So we've been focusing all of our lives on not having children being mere reflectors of other men's thoughts. And now we have these Common Core standards that everybody has to memorize, know lists, and be able to spit back a common thought. So that isn't too swift, if you ask me. And number eight, Common Core standards' aim is to help young people be successful in college and careers. And when you have that as your only goal, you've missed learning in general. The young should be exploring all the potentials of what it means to be a human being, to know that they are created in the image of God, that higher than any thought we have for them is God's thought for that mind. And so it's not just about being successful in college and career, but it's about being a whole person, a compassionate person, someone who not only is successful for this life, but for the life to come.
Well, that brings me to the thought then, what can I do as a parent to help my kids, my child, to round out, even in this environment of the Common Core standards, that I have nothing that I can control, but how can I help them to round them out to where they can achieve greater success in their lives?
I think as parents, we always need to be pointing them to God. And God is the source of all of our wisdom. And even for the young child, I don't ever hesitate when I see them struggling with something. Yes, I try to explain it in different ways and do different things that they'll know better what I'm trying to get across. But I also tell them, just say a silent prayer. Jesus is there. He's ready to give you wisdom. He is the source of it all. And I just see a lot of stress just melting out of them when they realize that I too get my wisdom from Jesus Christ. And with that, we have one last thing to say, and that is keep learning. You've been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media. You know, be sure and like Education Currents on Facebook and also consider partnering with us in this educational ministry. You can share your resources or show ideas. My address is P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call me at 301-824-3162.